Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and unfortunately our friend Ed Short isn't with us this evening due to scheduling reasons, and we are broadcasting this on April 7th, 2024. The year is just going by so fast, friends, it's hard to believe. And hopefully Ed and I will be back in the studio together next week. That's our plan. And I just wanted to, first of all, begin this program, as we always do, by thanking Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week right here on New Visions Radio. It's really a blessing to be here on this network and to have this opportunity to be able to open God's Word and just share it with those of you who are tuning in. We appreciate each and every listener out there and the fact that you tune in and keep in touch with us. We appreciate the emails. If you would like to email me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you would like to email Ed, you can reach him at ed@prophecyhope.com. And our general email is office@prophecyhope.com. Now, just a little bit about this ministry. We are an independent ministry. We're not affiliated with any denomination or any church. We're just an independent ministry here in Stanton, Virginia at 1743 West Beverly Street. If you're ever in this area, we would love to see you. We would love to have you come and visit. We meet every Sabbath morning. That's Saturday morning. We meet every Sabbath morning at 9:30 for what we call Sabbath school, which is a Bible study. And then we have a worship service at 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Also, in the midweek, we have a Wednesday night Bible study where we come together at 7 p.m. That's Eastern time. And we do that each and every week. And we do that via Zoom. So if you'd like to tune into that, you're welcome to get a link from us. Just email us. We'll send you the link, and you can participate with us in Bible study. Also, keep in mind our website. There are hundreds of sermons there. Our website is www.prophecyhope.com. This evening, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave about 2 months or so ago. Here we are in April of 2024. And it was entitled, What Shall I Do That I May Inherit Eternal Life? Before we begin, we always like to start with a word of prayer. So let's just bow our heads for prayer, and then we'll get right into the sermon. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to lay aside the cares of the day and just focus on your word. Father, we just ask for your spirit to be with us, to give us wisdom and understanding. And Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So friends, once again, the name of this sermon is, What Shall I Do That I May Inherit Eternal Life? And when we're through, we'll come back for a closing comment or two, and then we'll have a closing word of prayer. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This is a question that Jesus was asked. And I think a lot of times we look at this question and we just kind of gloss over it. But eternal life, living forever. That's what God originally had planned for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that they should live forever. But God gave them a commandment, and they broke it. And it cost them their life at that time. Well, because of the world that we live in today, because of the fall of mankind, because of sin, because of transgression of the law of God, that's why we're where we are now. Because they did something against the law of God. And because of the world that we live in, this topic keeps coming up over and over and over again. And it's going to continue to come up. There's going to continue to be tension about the law of God. Is it still standing? Does it still exist? Do I have to keep the commandments? Is this important for salvation? Because most people, if you say, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? They'll say, believe in Jesus. Well, I agree. Believe in Jesus. Amen. We have to know Christ. But is that enough? Knowing Christ is vital. But is just knowing him good enough? Or does he expect something of us? Does God expect us to live like Christ lived? If I say I believe in Christ, if I say I am a Christian, then that means I'm a follower of Christ. If I follow Christ, then I'm going to do what he does. When you are going on a hike and the leader of that pack says, follow me, you're going to stay on that trail where the leader walks. Christ is our leader. What did he do? How did he live his life? Well, let's take a look at an account where Jesus was asked this question. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. You know, the commandments keep coming up. And in Mark chapter 10 here, Jesus and his disciples had just left Capernaum, and they came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and many people gathered, and he teaches them. This is what it says right before you get to where we're going to be reading in Mark chapter 10. And it says, he taught them again, is what the scripture says. He taught them again. You know, Jesus repeated himself many times. He taught these people. He was trying to help them to see what was expected of them. And the Pharisees, as usual, they come to him, they want to trick him. This is what they did. They were always trying to trip him up. And then in verse 13, Mark chapter 10, verse 13, I want you to notice what happens here. It says, then they brought little... Oh, wait a minute. Mark chapter 10. Yeah, that's where I want to be. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. So I love the fact that he took care of the children. He made sure that he comforted them. He took time to talk with them. It says that he laid his hands on them and blessed them in verse 16. Well, let me ask you, aren't we considered children of God, even though we're adults? Aren't we children of God? It says, let the children come to me, in verse 14, and do not forbid them, of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. You can't enter the kingdom unless you're like a child. What is different about being a child than being an adult? Well, as an adult, you figure you move out of the house, you're on your own. I can make decisions for myself. A child wants that independence, but you don't feel right giving them that independence until that you know they can make good decisions. So what do? You teach them to make the right decision. So let the children come to me. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child. Why is it that when you're a child and your mom or dad tells you something, you believe it? But when you read something as an adult from the Word of God and God or Jesus are telling you something, you want to make it mean something else. But as a child, dad says it, mom says it, that's the law. I believe it. If your mom told you that a stork delivered you, you might believe that you were delivered by a stork that dropped on the front porch because that was your mom. You trust her. But that doesn't make it true, does it? It doesn't make it true. But if we read things from the Word of God, we know that they're truth. Well, let's continue here in verse 17, because this is what our focus is. Now, as he was going on the road, one came running and knelt before him. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 17. So he comes and he kneels before him and he asked Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.
Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at his word and went away, for he had great possessions. So, reading those verses, what do we see? What did Jesus leave out? Did he leave something out? Notice what he says there. He says, keep the commandments, doesn't he? Look at that verse again. Mark chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 19, you know the commandments. He's telling him, this isn't a question, this is a statement. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. This is what he says. You know the commandments, is what he tells him. You know them. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. In other words, of course I know them. I've been doing them all of my life. Since my parents taught me this. And Jesus, looking at him, said, one thing you lack. What was it that he lacked? There was one commandment at the end of those ones that he enumerated that he didn't mention. And that's the one about coveting. It says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And then it says, but he was sad at his word, or at this word. He went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. Believe it or not, when I have been shown this text dozens and dozens of times, and that is no exaggeration. I could say dozens, dozens, and dozens of times. For a specific reason. And you know what people use this for? They use this text that we just read to say, well, really, the commandment of the Sabbath is no longer valid because Jesus didn't mention it here. And he doesn't. Didn't mention it. Says nothing about the Sabbath here. So what do I do there? He left out the 10th commandment, but he told him to sell his possessions. And that, why did that man go away sad? Because he knew the 10th commandment was don't covet, and he realized, I covet. He went away sad because he can't enter eternal life if he's breaking these commandments. That's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, when he says, what shall I do that I may enter into eternal life? He didn't say, just believe in me and it's all covered. I got you back. No. He believed in Jesus. He knelt down before Jesus and he says, good teacher, what shall I do? And he says, keep the commandments. Which ones? Just these? Is that it? Is that all we have to do? Well, not only did he leave out the 10th commandment, but he didn't mention the Sabbath commandment. But again, he drilled down on that, didn't he? People often use this account to say we don't have to keep the Sabbath. But the only two commandments that Jesus didn't mention here, people, these are the ones that they say. Well, he didn't mention the Sabbath and he didn't mention coveting. But we'd get the context of the coveting. But let's look at the truth of the matter. Let's look at the first commandments together. I'm going to put them on the screen for you. I want you to see these. The first four commandments in the Bible. Here's what they are. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. This is from the Modern King James Bible. You shall have no other gods before me. Did Jesus mention this commandment in Mark 10? No. Doesn't mention it. Does this mean that he omitted the first commandment of the 10? No. Not at all. The second commandment, next, is right here. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Again, Modern King James. You shall not make yourselves any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me, showing and showing mercy to those who love me and keep my commandments. This was not that slide, Zach. It was a different one. This was not the one that I was asking you about. So in this commandment, we just read it. Did Jesus mention the commandment, this commandment in Mark chapter 10 about not bowing to idols? Well, he doesn't directly mention it. Does that mean that this commandment is omitted? Why do we always pick on the fourth one? Why is it always the Sabbath commandment? Why don't people say, well, I can worship idols now. I can worship a different God. Why don't they say that? You know, really, when Jesus was talking to that rich young ruler and he says what he did about go sell your things and come and follow me, and he went away sad. You know what was taking place there? When he covered that commandment, he was also covering this commandment, the second commandment. Why do I say that? Well, in Ephesians 5:5, we're not going to look at it, but it says, I'm going to quote it, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So it says in Ephesians 5:5, if you're covetous, you're an idolater, because you're putting the things that you love before God. He loved his possessions. So what does that make them? An idol. He didn't want to follow Christ. He put those possessions before God. So really, in that commandment, he's including the second commandment. It's included based on Ephesians 5:5. But then we get to James chapter 2, verse 10, that says, whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. We seem to throw that one under the bus, too. I don't know why we do that. James 2:10, whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. But let's continue to the third commandment. Let's take a look at this one. Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, you shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Did Jesus mention this commandment in Mark chapter 10? No, he didn't. Does this mean that he omitted this one of the Ten Commandments? And now we come to that fourth commandment, which for most Christians is the most dreadful, and it's the most binding, and it's the one that they have all forgotten, it seems, many. And we come to that commandment, and this is the one that they say, this one he omitted. This is what they like to say. Let's read it together. It says, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. You shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Now, I want you to look at this verse carefully on the screen. I want you to pay attention to this. And those of you who are tuning in, if you could put that on the PowerPoint, Zach. Verse 8. Does it say to remember a Sabbath day? No, it says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I highlighted that for you. Verse 9, what's it say? The seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. Does it say any day in seven? No, it says the seventh day. It's the Sabbath. Does it say of the Jews? No, it says of Jehovah your God. This is his day. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah God. Not a day, not a day you pick, not the day you think is right, not a Sabbath. It says the Sabbath. That's what it says. The seventh day is the Sabbath, not any day in seven. It doesn't say that. It's very clear. Is there anywhere in this commandment that it says anything about Jewish Sabbath? No. Nowhere. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested a seventh day." No, the seventh day, the seventh day. "Therefore, Jehovah blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." Does this say he blessed and sanctified any day in seven which you choose, whatever day you pick? No, the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Does it say the first day? No. It's the seventh day. Am I making the point clear? I mean, we're just reading what the Bible says. He blessed and sanctified the seventh day, not a seventh day, not one day that you pick out of seven. Is that understandable? So then why did Jesus leave out the fourth commandment? Why would he do that? If this is so important, why would he leave it out? This is the question that I get all the time. Well, let's go back and read it again. Let's go back and look at it. Mark chapter 10, look at verses 17 through 22. And see if we can get some resolution here. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Now as he," that's Jesus, "was going out on the road, and one came running, knelt down before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these I have done from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." He loved him. "And said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.'" But he was sad at his word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So there's no fourth commandment mentioned there. Jesus doesn't mention the Sabbath, so it must not be important at this point, right? No, that's not right. That's wrong. Once again, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't mention any of the first four commandments in this text. He doesn't bring them up. Did he omit them? No, he did not omit any one of them. Jesus doesn't mention them because the commandments regarding God were not an issue for this man. They weren't an issue. He wasn't worshiping a false god. He wasn't worshiping idols. He wasn't using God's name in vain. And certainly, he was a Sabbath-keeping man. It wasn't an issue. He didn't have to go there. Jesus didn't have to address what this man didn't have a problem with. He addressed the coveting, which is also idolatry. So indirectly, he's talking about the second commandment. Omission of the fourth commandment in this text does not dismiss the seventh-day Sabbath. It doesn't dismiss it any more than it does worshiping false gods. It doesn't dismiss that or omit it. It doesn't omit idolatry because he doesn't say it there. And it doesn't omit or dismiss using Jehovah's name in vain. Yet everybody hones in on the Sabbath. They want to dismiss God's holy day. So let's see what happens next in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. Now, we're going to begin here. We're going to pick this account up again because I want you to see this. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. And there's a couple of points I want to make that I think will really sound a couple of things down for you that I guarantee you most of us have never really thought of. So it says here, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them," children? He calls them children. "How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who have not received 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So I want you to look at this next slide. Well, before I show you that slide, I wanted to tell you, this particular text had a profound effect on my life. At a time in my life that I was disputing and arguing and fussing over the Sabbath, and that I didn't want to close my business, and I didn't want to have to deal with the things that I was going to have to deal with my family, and being rejected and having, you know, I've never worried about really rejection, but I knew this was going to cause some issues because I had to make a decision. I had a lot of decisions to make. But the main decision was, am I going to obey God or not? So really it was one decision. Am I going to follow Christ? Am I going to do what he says in this text? Keep the commandments. That's what he said. Which ones? Only five? Only the last six? No. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. So I was sleeping one night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, as I did often then, because I couldn't sleep, knowing what the Bible said. And my Bible popped open right here to Mark chapter 10. And the words that we just read, verses 23 through 31, for some reason, I don't recommend studying the Bible that way, but my Bible just opened just like this. It wasn't this Bible. It was the one that's back there. I didn't bring it because it's so torn up it would have fallen apart. But I opened it, and my eyes just went right to that text. And I knew at that moment. I went into the other room, and I had a prayer. Many of you have heard me tell you that. I had a prayer, and I just threw it in God's hands. I said, "I can't do this. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I'm claiming the promise that you will help me with this." And he did. This is something that many of us struggle with. But I want you to look at this next slide, and this is why I had this prayer. You see that picture? That's pretty neat, isn't it? And what's that telling us? Do you think that camel can get through the eye of that needle? Can that man get that camel through that? The eye of that needle? Is it possible? Not with men, but notice. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Do you believe that? I do. I believe that. But let's take a look at another account, because we might think, well, you know, my job, this or that, whatever it is, might keep you from doing things according to God's will. But all things are possible with God. All things. So let's look at another account. This is another account that people use to disregard the commandments in general. The commandments in general. Mark chapter 12. We're really close there. Mark chapter 12. Notice verse 28. We're going to begin there. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he," that's Jesus, "answered them well, asked them, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel.'" He's quoting from Deuteronomy here. So he would have said, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God, Jehovah is one. And you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Well, that's only two commandments. That's only two. So what happened to the ten? Are they gone? Are the Ten Commandments gone? Does this mean that I can worship more than one God like many of Christians do? They treat them like they're gone. Does this mean that I don't have to keep the Sabbath like the commandments say? Well, let's keep asking questions. We're going to answer these. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I'm going to pick up here in verse 34. Matthew 22, 34, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord,'" that's Jehovah your God, "'with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang just part of the law." No, hang all the law and the prophets. Does it say on these 8 out of 10 commandments hang? 9 out of 10? No, all of the law. That's what it says. All the law and the prophets. Now, I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 20. I want you to open your Bibles there. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I have a little time to do this. Exodus chapter 20. This is where we find the commandments written in the Bible for the first time. And you notice here in Exodus chapter 20, it says in verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, saying, 'I am Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.'" What was the first commandment Jesus gave? Let me go back there. I've got my Bible here so I can flip. It says, "You shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first commandment." So if I love Jehovah with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, am I going to have another God? No. So that's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments, and it's the first commandment that Jesus gave there, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." That's what he says here. You shall not bow down. If I love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, and mind, as some verses say, am I going to break this commandment? No. Jesus was summing up in his first commandment about loving God. He was giving, so far, the first and second commandments here. The next commandment, verse 7, "You shall not take up the name of Jehovah your God the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So if I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm not going to use his name in a worthless way or take it in vain. So far, I think all Christians would be in agreement that these three commandments are included in the first commandment that Jesus gave about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But for some reason, when I get to the dreadful Sabbath commandment, I call it that because that's how we look at it as Christians when we haven't grown up understanding this. It was dreadful. What? I've got to close my business? What? I can't go to the supermarket? I'm not supposed to mow my grass? You mean I can't pay that guy to mow my grass? What a burden. What a burden. I wanted to paint my bedroom this weekend. You see, that's how we think. Sounds like that rich young ruler. I'm going away sad. Just like the rich young ruler. And I carried that burden around for years. And most of us, when we look at this, again, remember, verse 8, remember. Don't forget. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your all your work. Not any six you choose, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. He rested the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He hallowed it, that day, not any day that I choose to make holy for myself. It's his day. It's his day. That's included in the first commandment that Jesus gave. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to remember this, these first four commandments. Then the second commandment is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Well, look at the rest of the commandments. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth, which Jehovah your God is giving you. You see, the second commandment that Jesus gave was about those around us, those that are here. The first commandment is about our relationship with God. The second is about our relationship with those around us, father and mother. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So Jesus didn't take away the commandments. He simplified them. It has to do with your relationship with God, and in turn, that affects your relationship with those around you. That's why that's the second commandment. So the 10 aren't wiped away. What's it say? On these two, this is Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. On these two commandments, loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of it. All of it. Not 90% of it. All of it. You know, what do people do with these texts? They adulterate them. I want to share something with you I have here. Listen carefully to this. This is from a newspaper. Now, I'll tell you what newspaper it is. I don't read this newspaper. I was just doing a little checking around. I don't read this paper, but this is from the New York Times. Okay? Listen carefully. I hope you're tuned into this because this is something secular. And watch how this bleeds into Christianity. Listen carefully. The United States has made some... here's the title of the article. Here's what they use to grab your attention. Too many people are locked up for small thefts. Too many people are locked up for small thefts. That's the headline. The United States has made some progress in reducing the shockingly large share of the population that lives behind bars, mostly, listen to this, mostly by dialing back the war on drugs. Building on this progress requires similar changes in the treatment of nonviolent property crime. In New York, as many as other states, stealing more than $1,000 is a felony. A person who grabs a new iPhone can end up in prison for 4 years. Treating what amounts to petty theft as a felony is draconian. That's what it says. It's draconian. In American society, it is difficult to recover from a felony conviction. You know the cure? Don't commit a felony. It works me up to think about this. But listen to what it says. In American society, it is difficult to recover from a felony conviction. It is hard to find work, hard to find housing, hard to rebuild a life. We want a system that penalizes people but doesn't destroy their lives, he said. This is a leader in New York. We want a system that penalizes people but doesn't destroy their lives. One state senator from New York City plans to introduce legislation to raise the state's felony theft threshold to $5,000. So what do you do? Instead of teaching people not to steal, you say, well, we're just going to raise the limit so that you're not going to be penalized. You can steal more now. We're going to make it more attractive for you to take. So I'm going to read that again. One state senator from New York City plans to introduce legislation to raise the state's felony theft threshold to $5,000. The $5,000 threshold would be the highest in the nation, but it still may not be high enough. Under this legislation, they want to index felony theft thresholds to inflation. Stealing $1,000 today is the rough equivalent to stealing $500 three decades ago. New York's inaction in leaving its standard unchanged in normal terms has made that standard more draconian over time. To prevent this kind of slippage, the state would review the threshold every 5 years and make adjustments in increments of $50. For example, if inflation averaged 2% a year over the period, the threshold would rise to $5,500. Inflation adjustment is basic housekeeping when it comes to theft. What? I can't believe that. How does that make you feel? Well, if you go to New York and ask New Yorkers how that makes them feel, they're not too happy about it. Well, at least not the ones that are not stealing. Let's put it that way. How's it working out for them? So, really, when I read this to people, whether they're Christian or not, it's appalling. To say, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, let's raise the limit. You know, we should be appalled when we hear things like this. And we are. We read this. This is in the world today. I read that. It should get you worked up a little bit. It should bother you. These agencies want to change the law of the land to appease those who are breaking the law. How is that any different than what the churches are doing? How is it any different? Let's change the law so that I'm not breaking it. We'll just take that Sabbath away. We don't need it. No. Does changing that law, raising that threshold, make it okay to steal? No, it doesn't. Any Christian would say, no, you don't change the law of the land to appease those who are breaking it, to make it okay. Or we'll raise it so that they're not breaking the law. Yet this is exactly what the vast majority of Christians are doing when they say, the Sabbath, it's been changed. We just, you know, God changed his law. He amended it. He adjusted it so that we don't have to live according to it. Well, that's why Jesus came, so that I could break the law. No. Jesus came to fulfill it, to show us how to do it, to show us it can be done. What do? They say, let's make the Sabbath day any day. It doesn't matter. And we see that not just that doctrine. That seems to be one of the main ones that we get so much pushback on as a ministry because it makes people uncomfortable. But even the ones about adultery, lots of denominations are beginning to accept that. And that bleeds over into, you know, a lot of these commandments are connected to other things in the law that they say has been done away with. Homosexuality, bestiality. You don't see bestiality mentioned in the New Testament, but if you did that, it's against the law of the land, and it should be against what your church teaches. But a church says, no, that law has been done away with. Well, has it? So it's okay. Incest, it's mentioned in the Mosaic law. You see, What shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, I think I'll go to a church that changes the law. I'll have faith in Jesus, and everything will be fine. Really? You don't change the law so that you continue in things that the church or Christians or pastors or ministers or commentaries say is okay. What does God's word say? It tells me in Malachi 3:6, God does not change. It tells me in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus does not change. So you're telling me that God killed someone in the Old Testament for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, knowing he was breaking God's law. God killed him for that, had him put to death. But today, that's okay. Doesn't matter what day, and it doesn't matter what I do. That's telling me, you're telling me that God has changed. Friends, I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. There's another point that comes up. The commandments are clear about worshiping the true God. He's a jealous God. And he should be. What shall I do that I may have eternal life? I need to have the faith of Jesus. I need to have faith in Jesus. And this should move me to want to keep the commandments of God. It should move me to want to make changes in my life to do what the Bible says to do, instead of making excuses as to why I can break the law. Whichever one, to pick the commandment. Brother Ed asked, which one do you not want to keep? Just pick one. Which one don't you like? And there is an all-out attack on the Word of God today. There's an all-out attack on these things that we're talking about, particularly about what God made holy. Before sin. Remember, we've talked about this before. The Sabbath is not only a creation ordinance, that it was committed there in the Garden of Eden before sin, it was announced, but it's a redemption ordinance. It's a redemption ordinance. Notice the words of the wisest man who ever lived. Take a look at this. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Brother Rick read this for scripture reading. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? The whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Every secret thing. Remember what Jesus said. You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I'm telling you that if you commit adultery in your heart, right? Isn't that what he said? Then you have committed it. This is why every secret, this is why we need Christ in us to push those bad thoughts that we might have, those things that make us not want to do what God wants us to do. Get those out. Allow Christ in. Fill my cup, Lord. Isn't that what we're saying? Fill my cup. Fill me up. The psalmist said this, Psalm 112, 1 through 4 on the PowerPoint. Praise Jehovah. Blessed is the man who fears Jehovah, who delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. To the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of pity and righteousness. What a beautiful psalm. It says, praise Jehovah, blessed is the man who fears Jehovah, who delights, not begrudgingly keeps the Sabbath or the other commandments. Why do I mention the Sabbath? Because that's the one that most Christians forget. It's not all about the Sabbath. No commandment is any more important than the other, and they're not in order of sequence, but remember, Jesus did give the first commandment, which is love of God. And what we do is we take 25% of that first commandment and we say, not important. Lord, I love you 75% of the time. I'll do 75% of what you want. Or if we include them all, 90%. That's even better. I'll use that one. You know, you go before a judge and you say to the judge, you've committed a serious crime, a crime worthy of death. The Sabbath is a crime, breaking any commandment unrepentantly, you're worthy of death. So I'm called before the judge, and I go up and I say, well, judge, I've kept all the other laws. I've only broken this one. This is the only one I've broken. Come on, cut me some slack. You know, I keep 90% of it. This is the only law I broke. Is that going to go over well with the judge? Probably not. But you know, we're told here, he is gracious and full of pity and righteousness. That's what we're told there in Psalm 112, verse 4. To the upright there arises light in the darkness. You see, this human heart is dark, and I need light. How do I get the light? I ask for Christ to come in. Help me to love your commandments. Help me to want to do your commandments. Put in me a new heart. The prayer of David. Say that prayer. If you're struggling with any one of the commandments, it doesn't matter which one, any one of them, pray that prayer. Put in me a clean heart so that I can have light in this dark place. I don't want the darkness. I want the light. I want your righteousness. Revelation 12, verse 17 on the PowerPoint. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. It's not going to be easy because the devil uses his agency to mislead people and tempting them to break God's laws. This is what he does, to break God's commandments. And that's what this is talking about. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What must I do that I shall gain eternal life? Well, you have to have the commandments of God, and you have to have the faith of Jesus, faith in Jesus as well. Revelation 14, verse 12, on the PowerPoint. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Can I leave either one of those out? Can I say, well, I have faith in Jesus, I just don't keep all of the commandments? Or, well, I keep the commandments, but I really don't believe in Jesus. No. The patience of the saints are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 22. I'm sorry. I didn't change that. That's actually Revelation chapter 22, and I did not change that on the PowerPoint. I apologize for that. It says, blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and they may enter in by the gates into the city. That's from the modern King James Version. So blessed are they who do his commandments. This is Revelation. This book was written after Jesus died and was resurrected. Blessed are they who do his commandments. Which ones? All of them. All 10 of them. Let's stop making excuses, friends. Whatever your vice is, whether it's from the second commandment that Jesus gave about loving those around you, or whether it's the first commandment that he gave, any one of them, stop making excuses. We need to stop changing God's law. God does not change. His 10 commandments are still intact. So my prayer for you is that you will continue to study these things. I know there's some pushback on this topic. There's a lot of pushback. It's going to get more and more and more as time goes on. But just like we read that headline that I read, too many people are locked up for small thefts. Well, let me tell you, if you're not in Christ Jesus and if you're not doing the things that God calls us to do, a little bit of sin will keep you out of the kingdom. A little bit of sin will keep you out of the kingdom. We can't lower God's standard, just like they're doing here. They're lowering the worldly standard, saying, okay, well, we're going to make it to where you can commit the crime, but we're going to raise the bar as far as where the crime starts. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a horrible thing to do. No one that I know, the people that I am around, would say that that's even right. Yet, some of those same people that would say that it's wrong to change the laws of the land to appease the wrongdoer will say, it's okay to change the word of God to let me do what I want to do. That's a double standard. No wonder so many Christians are considered to be hypocrites. No wonder Christianity has a bad name, and it does. Let's face it. Let's be honest. Christianity has a terrible name among the nations. They look at Christians and say, they're the biggest hypocrites. Amen. We are. I say we because we are Christians. So are we going to live up to what God asks us to do? Are we going to keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus? Do you want that eternal life? I do. I want to be there. And I don't want to change the law of God to make me comfortable. I did that for 10 years of my life, and I've never been more uncomfortable. Once I knew. You see, because I didn't know about the Sabbath. And then once I got to know it, I realized I've got changes. And I was like that rich young ruler. I went away sad. But I've never been happier in my life. It's not a burden. None of the commandments are a burden. They're a blessing. They make life worth living in this world. They really do. So my prayer for you is that if you haven't made a decision, if you're struggling, that you will pray. Ask God to give you a clean heart. Ask Him to help you to have faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and to keep all of the commandments.
Friends, I hope you enjoyed that sermon, and I hope you found it very encouraging, and I hope that it lifts you up and makes you want to do God's will, that you want to have that eternal life. And we are actually out of time, and I hate to close with prayer so soon after the sermon, but we're going to have to because time is running out for us here on this program. So let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the reminders, for the fact that you have given us eternal life, and help us to make a choice to serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for every gift. Thank you for the blessing of being together here this evening. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I hope to catch you here next week. Ed and I hope to be here next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.